If you have your scripture today, I want you to stand with me. I want us to read a few verses together. We're going to be reading in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. I'm going to read. You're going to just read along. And I'm going to read down to the end of verse 13. So we're not going to go terribly far. But man, the waters that we're shoving off into are pretty game-changing waters. And so just understanding, remembering again today that we didn't come here for a lecture. We're not really doing an exercise today, but this is the living breath of God on the page. This is God-breathed. That's what it says about itself. The scripture says this is God-breathed. And so together, I just want us to lean into it. I'm going to begin reading in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Therefore, I'm going to read it again, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, say it with me, to stand. Thanks be to God for the power of his word. Can we say that together? Thanks be to God for the power of his word. Amen. You can be seated. So Paul comes to this word finally. The finale. This is the bell lap. This is the moment where, as he's been writing to this fledgling church in Ephesus, and he's been unpacking all this amazing God truth, now he kind of takes a step back, he takes a deep breath, and he says, okay, is everybody ready? Okay, chapter 1, mind-blowing, right? Amen. Chapter 2, hello. Chapter 3, I mean, what can you say? Chapter 4, I know, got a little personal, but hey, you know, it needs to get a little personal, right? And thank you for chapter 5. I know I stepped on a few toes, husbands, especially yours, wives, be encouraged. And then we got into chapter 6 and kids got to get on board. And the way we work in our workplace and business all has to shift and change. But come on. All right. Now, having said all that, finally, this is what we're talking about. So all of this is leveraging now into this moment. So today, we're beginning the final stretch. We're beginning the last lap. If it's a relay race, we're the closing guy on the final leg. And so God is saying all of the setup is so that this reality can happen in your life. So I want us to think that way today. God has an urgency when he says, finally. He's not saying, I hope that I didn't bore you to death with the earlier parts, and now we're going to get close to the finished. It's not one of those speeches that drones on and on and on, and the person can feel it, so they say, I'm getting close to finishing now. It's not a moment where everybody sort of tapped out, and they say, okay, can you hang with me just for a couple more minutes? That's not in God's mind. In God's mind is, we've been climbing up Mount Everest together, and today's the day we're going to summit to the top. Are you ready? Finally, this is what life is about. This is what the gospel is about. This is what the kingdom is about. This is what the word is about. This is what Christ's work is about. This is what the Holy Spirit is about. This is the moment, okay? Are you ready? Finally, here it comes. And with that in mind, we read today. So we're not reading words on a page again. So you would never just be sitting at home in your lounge, in your den, or at Starbucks, or, you know, in between classes. You'd never just be reading along and go, and da 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 da, blah, 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 and finally, blah, 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 blah. When you get to the finally, you go, ah, okay, I'm going to take a deep breath right here because this is about to rock my world. Finally. Don't you love the Word of God? Don't you love this Word of God? You know, people are like, I've been reading the Scripture lately, and I'm just not sure how to get anything out of it. I'm like, really? Lord, help us. Assist us, even today, to have our eyes open to see these words are beating on the page. They're not just printed on the page. And he's saying, finally. And here's the finally. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Now, that's really all I want to unpack today. And if that's too little for you, then God bless you. You can go home and, you know, do a deep dive and, you know, memorize the whole Bible when you get home. But these are the two verses that we really want to camp out in today. Finally, two things. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's what we're going to take away today. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might so that you might be able to stand against all the schemes of the devil. So the goal for our lives, the goal of the kingdom, the goal of the word, the goal of redemption, the goal of God giving us his spirit, the goal of everything that Paul has poured into this passage and unpacked out of this passage is for this purpose, that you and I would be able to stand. Stand now, stand in the storm, stand against the schemes, and be standing at the end of the day when we see Jesus face to face. I want to say that again because that's as simple as it is. That's your life mission. Get a job, build a business, have a career, do something innovative, make money, raise a family, change the world, do all those things. Those are not God's primary mission and goal for you. That's not what he's looking at you today going, here's what I'm thinking. Finally, build the greatest business on earth. Finally, raise an amazing family of 8 kids. Finally, make a name for yourself. Finally, man, just kill it in the financial markets. Finally, be a community activist. Finally, get an education. He's saying, finally, I want you to be able to stand in the storm, because they're coming, to stand against the schemes, because you got an enemy, and to be standing when you see Jesus, because of all things, when you see him, you're going to want to be holding all the ground that Christ has already won for you. And so he said, this is the goal, that you could be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might so that you could put on the full armor of God, not just so then you'd have a great little story. I've got the armor of God. I've got the breastplate of righteousness, and my feet are, you know, shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and I have on the helmet of salvation, and I've girded my loins with the truth, and I've taken up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and we can kind of go through all the little pieces. And man, I'm just praying in these next few weeks together that we don't lose ourselves in Vacation Bible School. We don't lose ourselves back in the, oh, I remember learning about this at some point, and we had somebody came out dressed like a, you know, a knight in armor and walked around and said, hello, kids, this we're going to talk about the armor of God today. I'm hoping we don't lose ourselves in that. Because the goal isn't to know what all the pieces of armor are. The goal really, honestly, isn't just to get all the pieces of armor on. The goal is to stand in the middle of the storms and the schemes so that we can be standing when Jesus comes. That's God's goal and his purpose and his plan for you. I love this. When you look at verse 11, it says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. We don't use that word very often. The devil. Can we talk about that for a minute? The end of the finality introduces the reality of your enemy. Okay, the final crescendo of this text reveals the true identity of our enemy. And I love it. Because what culture is doing is veiling our enemy and slowly turning up the temperature of the water in the pot so that we have a very low aversion to the devil. The devil is a multi-billion-dollar industry. And you just mark it down. You say, well, Louis, you know, it feels like when you say the devil, it feels like we sort of went back to tent revival meetings. It feels like now we're going back to preaching. It feels like now we're going back to old school. Well, here's the deal. You can go all the way back to the first pages of the story, and the enemy is in our journey. And he's in your journey right now. He's in your family. He's in your pocketbook. He's in your mind. He's in your kids' minds. He's on your television set. He wants to wreck your home, wreck your life, steal your purity, rob you of your praise. He wants to crash into your plans. He wants to gouge your eyes out. He wants to make you blind, deaf, and dumb. He wants to disable you. He wants to make you inactive. He wants to dull you. He wants to desensitize you. And he wants to kill you if he can. And if he has his way, you will burn in hell forever with him. That's the devil. And so we got a billion-dollar industry going, are you interested in the supernatural? Are you interested in magic? Are you interested in spells and potions and people that fly on brooms? Isn't that awesome? And I'm not hyper, and I'm not like living in a monastery, and I don't think that there's a demon under every rock. And sometimes when your car doesn't start, it's not because there's a demon under the hood. You know, and you can call out the name of Jesus and call down the blood of Christ, and you can speak against all the powers of darkness, but eventually you're going down to auto care and getting a new battery, and you're putting the battery in, and lo and behold, the car starts, and you're like, thank you. My battery died. So I'm not of the school of, oh my goodness, you know, it must be a demon. But I am of the school that says you gotta at least have a clue that you have an enemy. It's not your wife or your boss or your professor or your dad or your neighbor or your former business partner. They are not your enemy. Your enemy is the devil. And I'm just going to lay it out there in real simple terms, speaking and including me. He is smarter than you. And the sooner we admit that, the better candidates we are for standing at the end of the day. He is not dumb. And he is not someone to be taken lightly. And if the truth be told, and we took a survey right now, in so many chairs in this room, he has the upper hand. And so God knows all this. He knows he's crafty. He knows he's patient. He will not take a 33-year-old out if he can wait and take a 53-year-old out. And so a lot of 43 years are going, old people are going, this is working out. And he's going, it sure is. Because at 53, I'm chopping you down like a tree. And you don't even know it. He is patient. He is crafty. He is scheming. He is deceptive. He is everything you can imagine as a worst nightmare. And the scripture said he even masquerades like an angel of light. So sometimes when he rolls through the door, you're like, wow, that's awesome. Praise God. And he's going, yeah, good job. You don't even know that I'm masquerading as an angel of light, but I'm here to rip your heart out. And once we kind of get our heads around that and we stop settling for less and we stop deciding that we're just going to let our families be torn apart, we're going to let our lives be torn apart, we're going to let our dreams be torn apart, we're going to let our world be torn apart, we're going to let this city be torn apart. Whenever we decide, you know what, I'm done with that, then we're ready for the finally. Because in the finally, the curtain gets pulled back and you realize it's not just some nebulous thing. I mean, you just go through Netflix and you look at all the movies in Netflix that deal with darkness, with demons, with the occult, with the satanic. I mean, we're not talking about the three movies in that section. We're talking about blockbusters, $20, $50, $100 million movies that people are lining up to go see weekend after weekend after weekend because people don't know. They're blinded. They don't see. And they don't know if they could just pull that curtain back a little bit and see the enemy just step through and put his hand on their throat and just squeeze the life out of them. Then they'd go, wow. So, this is the thing. We've got storms and we got schemes. And in the storms and the schemes, God has a plan. And the plan is that he would suit us up with everything we need to stand at the end of the day. We would have held our ground and we'd still be standing at the end of the day. So how does that happen? Well, let me give you a couple things. Let me give us a couple things. Number one, it happens when we realize that we're in Christ. I know you're like, hello, I knew we couldn't get through one verse without Louis giving us the in Christ business because it's all about being in Christ and we got all the little dots. Please, Louis, don't make us count the dots again. Please don't do that again. Okay, we won't count them all again, but we will count two, okay? Verse 10, finally, be strong. Say it with me, in the Lord. So where are you strong? In the Lord. Are you strong? Hello? Are you strong? No. How are you doing on being strong? How are you doing against all the storms of life? How are you doing against all the schemes of the devil? Not great, but in the Lord you can be strong. I can be strong. Be strong in the Lord, and secondly, and in his mighty power. Number two. So we got two in Christ here. Be strong in the Lord and be strong in his mighty power. So this is a little freebie for where we're going at the end. If you're not in the Lord and you're not in his mighty power, this isn't going to work for you. Number one way that we stand is that we are in Christ. That means we have a brand new relationship with Jesus Christ, whereby we are joined together with the life, the power, the strength, and the might of Jesus. And that happens by faith when we put our trust in Christ and ask Christ to come and live his life inside of you and inside of me. This is chapter 2, and I'm going to back up to it because it's kind of like the beating, you know, nerve center of Ephesians. And I want us to think about this today. These are the most powerful 64 words that have ever been spoken about you. So you want to get a hold of this right here today. If you don't sort of lean up on the edge of your chair right now, I don't know what I'm going to do. I might just have to jump out there at some point. These are the most powerful 64 words that have ever been spoken about you. Okay, I'm not exaggerating. You tell me at the end of this message today what has ever or will ever be said to about you or over you or for you more powerful than the 64 words I'm about to share with you right now. This is a game changer for real. And in the middle of this beautiful text, before we get to finally, here come the 64 words. I'll try to give them to you by heart. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Now we're going to skip over a little parenthetical material there where he just elaborates on that. So let's just start there. Then we're going to skip just so you know. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. But because of his great love, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. 64 words. You want to say them together? Let's say them together. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. That happened. Hello? Anybody, any believers in Christ here? Anybody put your faith in Jesus? Anybody been brought to life in Christ? Okay, that happened. That's not gonna happen. That might happen. That already happened. God already, when we were dead, made us alive because of his great love and mercy for us, and he raised us up with Christ. What is the picture? Christ came back from the dead. Christ was raised up from the grave. And when Christ was raised, we were raised. And not only were we were raised all the way up to where Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. So positionally, we have been joined together with Jesus Christ. This is crazy because we just don't think about it that much and we don't live like it that much. But positionally, God has said, have you put your faith in me? Okay, well, this every illustration breaks down at some point. They teach you that in seminary, and then it kind of fleshes its way out in real life. And if we could really do this illustration, we would need a harness to come down from the ceiling and just kind of envelop me somehow. I wouldn't even clamp myself in. It would auto-clamp itself on me, and it would pick me up. But, you know, we're not that technologically advanced, and after you do the King of Pops, you can give toward that. And then we'll have that next time, and that'll be awesome. But here's the picture, okay? I put my faith in Jesus, and God said, come on, I'm raising you up with Christ. That's a good place to read the word. He raised us with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms, in Christ Jesus. So right now, positionally, we're sitting in the heavenly realms, in Christ Jesus. You are not a low-life dweller. You are a high throne sitter. This is where we live. This is positionally where we live. That's kind of what's beautiful about the Winsome Wall. Just is that when someone in our family puts their faith in Jesus, we want to put a light bulb in the Winsome Wall. And we don't let you do it unless it's a community group that meets midweek and we're not here to supervise it, Brad. And we'll let you go up about three steps. You're going to have to go in a low letter socket. Because obviously this is high up. And we don't really want that. But we have door holders here who will go all the way up. And they'll take your bulb and they'll go all the way up and put your bulb in the Jesus' life wall. And I just think the symbolism of that today is even powerful. Because when you put your faith in Christ and that bulb is put in that wall, it is a symbol of the fact that by faith, God joined your life from death in life to Christ's life. And then he took you and raised you with Christ. So everything that happened with Christ happened to you. All the power that came when Christ was raised, all that happened to you. When Christ triumphed over death, you triumphed over death. And when Christ sat back at the right hand of God, you sat back at the right hand of God. Not because you did, but because he did and you're in him. So we didn't do anything, but Christ did everything. But we had the benefit of being in Christ when he did everything. So everything Christ has done, we have done. And wherever he is where we are. And we're joined together with him, seated with him right now, alive, loved, recipients of mercy, and in Christ Jesus, seated in the heavenly realms. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. But because of his great mercy, God, who is rich in love, made us alive together with Christ. Because of his great love for us, he made us alive together with Christ. And when he did, he raised us up. And here's the thing, God has already seated us in the heavenlies so that then we can stand in the storm and stand in the schemes. And so Ephesians is progressing now. And the whole early key in all those passages that we dug and dug and dug in and talked about how we've got to let this word soak into our hearts. And what was the word? You're seated with Christ. And now he's saying, did you get that? Because it's important that you know that you're seated with Christ, because once you know that you have been seated with Christ in the heavenlies, you can understand that now it's time for you to stand in Christ in the midst of the storms and in the midst of this world. Number one, you have to be in Christ. The second thing, well let me just talk about that for a second, what that looks like. Can I just talk about it just for a minute? So, we have an egg. It's not a trick egg. It's a real egg. I could prove that a lot of different ways, but I won't. It's real. And so I want to ask you a question. We've got a few options here. We have one note card. We have 50 note cards. We have 100 note cards. And we have 500 note cards. Okay, I want to take a quick survey because I've got to move on. How many of you think that from a height of 2 feet, I can drop one note card on the egg and the egg will not break? Okay, there might be some really nervous people out there. I'm just checking, okay? I don't know. Okay, how many think I can drop 50 note cards on the egg from a height of 2 feet and the egg will not break? All right. How many think I can drop 100 note cards on the egg from a height of 2 feet and the egg will not break? Okay, people are praying about this one, okay? Lord, I need something. How many of you feel like I can drop 500 note cards on the egg from a height of 2 feet and the egg will not break? No, raise them high. Don't be afraid. These are people that just want me to do it. These are people that are like, I dare you to do it. I believe it will work. I think you guys are okay. All right, so how many of you think that I can drop a cinder block on the egg from a height of 2 feet and the egg will not break? Show of hands, please, high as you can. No takers on that one. That's, why are you raising your hand? You're either real smart or you're smarter than me or something. It's making me nervous, okay? Awesome. Well, I think this person is probably right. I believe if we all really concentrate, think our most positive thoughts about this egg, if you're a detractor or negative or have a bad attitude, you're going to have to leave during this part. If we all concentrate together, now I learned this from David Blaine, so don't be nervous. And we all pour our most vivid imaginations into this egg. And then we even speak to the egg. Egg, you are a mighty egg. No, why? Please, laughing is only breaking the spirit. That we can somehow convince this egg that this egg is strong enough, I think we can, to withhold the crushing blow of that cinder block. No. But I do believe this. Can you guys help me real fast? Thank you. I do believe that if we put the egg in the safe, I'm confident that we can drop the cinder block on the egg. And the egg is not going to break. Not because the egg is strong enough, but because what the egg's in is sturdy. So I believe that you would agree that we could drop your car on the egg and the egg would not break. How many of you feel pretty confident about that? I believe we could drop this building on the egg. And finally, you would undo all the rubble and open the door, and the egg would still be in there. Because this is sufficient. This is not sufficient. But this is sufficient. I was thinking about some of the storms that we've been in. My family. That we've lived through. We've been in the storms of silence. We've been in the storms of loneliness, of cancer. We've, in our lifetime, lived in the storms of being abandoned. We have lived through the storm of raucous applause. We have lived in the bright sun. We have lived in the night of nights. We have known the winds of the mountain peak. And we have stood in the valley of the shadow of death. We have been able to stand in the wind of winning. Hashtag winning. Hashtag really winning. We have been in the storm of being strapped. We know that storm of when everyone else wants to fall. And everyone around you is falling by their choice. We've been in the storm of being right. We've been in the storm of being wrong. We've been in the storm of failure. We've been in that storm of being young. We've been in the storm of not being noticed. We've been in the storm of rolling in it. We've been in the storm of depression. We've been in the storm of addiction. We've been at the grave. We've been in the storm of being old and gray. We've been in the storm of being afraid. And we live in a storm where our flesh just screams, do it. Just do it. And whatever the storm, Christ is enough. Whatever the storm. And I think that any kind of religion that says, man, let me just help you kind of buck up to this, is going to leave you short at the end of the day. You need a faith and a Christ and a Spirit who are going to constantly remind you, hey, it's not you. You can't stand in this. You can't stand against this. You can't stand against these schemes. You will not make it through the storm, and you will not make it through the schemes, and you will not be standing at the very end of the day unless you are in Christ, because in Christ, He can stand in the storm. He will stand in the storm. He walks on water in the storm. And He has already defeated the schemes. And He is standing right now at the end of the day, waiting for you to arrive to Him. Two last things really fast and we'll close. So how do you stand? You stand in Christ. Secondly, you stand in the Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit isn't mentioned very much in Ephesians. But He's mentioned enough. And Scripture interprets Scripture, so therefore Ephesians fits into the fabric of all Scripture. And what Ephesians says, interestingly, in chapter 1, when it's talking about how we first got into Christ, it says in verse 13, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed," so we did put our faith in Jesus, "you were marked in Him with a seal." That means there was this kind of like this stamp on your life and in your life at that moment of salvation. And it is the promised Holy Spirit. That's what marked us at salvation. It was the one they'd always been thinking about, that Jesus had been talking about, this Spirit of God that's coming to fill up our lives with the power of God. And He says, "You are marked with a seal, marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory." And then once we unpack a little bit of this armor over here, we're going to see again the Spirit coming into play. But the way that we walk out the reality that we are in Christ is by being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And so some of us, the step is going to be, God, I'm not in Christ, so I'm an egg under a boulder. I have no chance, really. I don't have any defense. So step one is, I need to get into Christ because it's in His strength and in His mighty power that I'm strong. Finally, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in His mighty power. So whenever the storms blow, I hope we remember this crazy idea. Whenever the storms blow, I hope we're like, man, I got to get in the safe. I am in the safe, but I got to get in the safe. My position is in the safe, but I got to get my mouth in the safe. I got to get my brain in the safe. I got to get my eyeballs in the safe. I got to get my hope in the safe. I got to run into the name of the Lord, which is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are saved. I got to get in the safe. I don't have to figure out how to survive the storm. I got to get in the safe. But secondly, we got to ask the question, do I have the Spirit? Do I have the Holy Spirit? Have I opened up my life and said, Holy Spirit, you have to power me through the storms, and you have to power me through the schemes, and you have to power me to the face of Jesus? Because without you, I don't have what it takes to make it all the way to the end. And for somebody today, your prayer is going to be, Holy Spirit, I'm inviting you. I'm opening every part of my life to you to come and empower Christ's life in me. That's the beauty of the gospel. And then just finally, you have to thirdly, if you want to stand, you have to do the word. You have to do the word. If I asked you this question, I did a little research. I was just trying to remember. Does anybody remember P99X? Anybody remember that? P90X, thank you. Was there ever a 99X? P90X. I didn't obviously do P90X. Anybody involved right now in CrossFit? Find a box near you. Anybody ever use the ab roller? We're going back just a little bit. Who has an ab roller in a storage unit somewhere in Atlanta? Anybody ever do Taibo? Am I saying that one right? Anybody ever go to a boot camp? You know where I'm going. How about Pilates? Used to, you could not go to buy like a loaf of bread without running into Pilates. It's like, when did Pilates drop down out of heaven and populate the earth? Anybody on Juice Plus? Jenny Craig, she's still with us? So if I ask you, do these things work, what would you say? You would say what I say, yes. No. Yes. No. They work, say it with me, when you do them. They all work to some degree when you do them. They do not work, say it with me, when you stop doing them. This is why we have so many. Nate, I'm on to them. Oh, you're tired of P90X, aren't you? Because that's a pain. Getting your computer out or getting the DVD in and finding a place. And besides, it just makes you tired and you can't breathe and you want to vomit and you're sweaty and it's hard and it requires commitment. And so I'm not doing that anymore. Would you like to do CrossFit? Oh, yes, I would like to do CrossFit. That is amazing. I can compete with people worldwide that I never meet, and I can become, you know, I can jump over a box. I can hang off of a bar. Yes! And then you're like, man, that's starting to really cramp my morning sleep. Would you like to buy Juice Plus? All you got to do is take two tablets 95 times a day. It's awesome. I'll give you a month's supply for free. And I mean, you're gonna realize that you're gonna live to be 1,000 years old. And you're like, yes, give us 9 months worth. How many of you have 9 months worth of something right now sitting in the pantry? But after a while, it's like, man, you know, it's a pain, Bill, to keep up with every meal. Oh, I gotta get my things, and I gotta do my thing, and I gotta remember my deal, and I gotta, where's my little thing? I put my things in, and just give me the double cheeseburger with extra fries, and put the chili on it, and I'll have a double fudge mocha milkshake frappuccino with whip, low fat, and a straw. And just give me a shovel. Hey, don't worry about me, I'm going to CrossFit tomorrow. I'm going to CrossFit tomorrow, okay? So the point is, they work when they work, and they don't when they don't. And I'm going to bring a very, what I would consider a life-changing message down to a very simplistic close. There is nothing wrong with Jesus. Nothing wrong with him. And there ain't anything wrong with the power of the Holy Spirit. And this never fails. So if you're a skeptic out there, and I know you're out there, you're like, thank you for one more message. I'm not going to be able to endure my addiction or endure my depression, or I'm not going to be able to stand in the midst of being strapped. I'm not going to stand in the midst of the accusation. I'm not really going to be standing at the end of the day. You know, it just doesn't work. Well, it doesn't work, you're right, when you don't do it. But it works every time when you do it. And that doesn't feel like legalism or meism, because we've already talked about how he raised us up and seated us, and we already talked about how we're in him. So it's not about anything we did. It is by grace you have been saved, parenthetically, right in the middle of our 64 life-changing words. But in the midst of the grace of God which saved us, the word of God then keeps us. Because we're not talking about a book. We're not talking about a manual. We're not talking about a how-to thing. We're not talking about a map. We're not talking about directions to get you where you're going. We're talking about God's breath on a page that fills our hearts with truth. And that truth, as we will see, we wield in our hands like a sword in the storm. And we wield it in our hands like a sword in the schemes. And I'm telling you, when we see Jesus, if we're still standing, we're going to be wielding that sword all the way to his face. The people who are going to stand in the end are the people who are wielding this truth like a sword. And they're saying, come on, storm, you're real and you're taking a shot at me, but I got something real also. I have Jesus. He is real. I have the Spirit. He is real. And I have this Word of God and it is real. And I'm going to hang on to this until the end. And I'm going to believe this. I'm going to breathe this. I'm going to eat this. I'm going to sleep this. I'm going to regurgitate this. I'm going to bleed this word until the very end. So when the storm comes, I run into the safe of Jesus and I run into the Word of God. We're done, but in my Bible reading, which I hope we're all doing Bible reading in the month of May, if you fell down, you fell off the wagon, just get back on today. Wherever you dropped off, just get back on. God's a God of grace, and today's a brand new day. If you started into Mark and then you kind of sort of somehow got sidetracked, that's okay. Just pick it back up today and say, God, would you just breathe life into me through this word today? If you started into Ephesians 6 and sort of tapped out, just jump back in. If you were doing Psalm 84, that's okay. Just jump back in. Come around the Grove tomorrow, and I'm guessing you're going to hear Psalm 84 tomorrow. At some point, it's woven into everything they do. But in my Bible reading, one of the days this week, it brought me to Psalm 147. And it says this. It says, praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise him. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. That's us. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. The Lord sustains the humble, but he casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make music to our God on the harp. He covers the sky with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain. He makes the grass to grow on the hills, and he provides food for the cattle, for the young ravens when they call. His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor is his delight in the legs of a man. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. And all he's really asking today is that we take our eyes off our egg and we put our eyes on his safe. And you remember that he puts the clouds in the sky. He covers the whole earth with rain. He brings forth the grass on every hill. He feeds all the cattle of the earth and every flying bird and calls every star into place by name. He is strong and his power is enough. So he says, finally, continuously dwell in the Lord, in his strength and in his power. Put on the armor. And you will be able